Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls.
Yesterday, watching either the Royal Wedding and or the FA Cup final, and it just struck me, couldn't they get their dates right? It's normally meant to be a member of the royal family gives away the FA Cup, and no one told them there was a clash in the date for the diary. Today has been a date in the diary for a while. So Becky and Craig asked a while ago about this date for baptising Elliot. Did that fit in with what church was doing? And also they had to coordinate both sides of their family, including a number of ministers. So this date has been in the church diary for a few weeks. But also this date's been in the church diary for 2,000 years, because this is Pentecost, and CPC isn't always very strict to keeping all the church calendar dates, but this is the day that church remembers the Holy Spirit being given to her. And so hence the reading. Normally I don't work dates around reading, but the reading's appropriate, isn't it? It's Pentecost, gift of the Spirit, baptism, and children, all mentioned in the reading. And the reading shows that God had this date in his diary for eternity past, for Elliot. He knew that she'd be born to Craig and Becky. And as some of you know, she was, unlike most people, born on her due date. Also unlike the rest of her family, doing something on the due time. But God had this date in his diary. And God has another date in his diary when you'll meet him. Each person here has a date in God's diary when you will meet him. It's not in your diary because you don't know the date yet. But are you ready for that date? Now, the reading started with a question. It said they heard this, some stuff that Peter had been saying, and they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" What must we do? Because they're cut, they're devastated by what they've just heard. And this passage is at the end of a sermon. So I want us to ask, why are they cut? And then look at Peter's answer to them, which is an invitation and the benefits and who this invitation is for. So why? The reason why they're devastated is they've just heard Peter's sermon and they've realized they've missed the point about Jesus, and so missed the point about life itself. Maybe you've had that experience where you for ages have just suddenly a facepalm moment. A friend of mine, when he realized about a particular thing, said it was like he's been walking around with his flies undone for 40 years. And then suddenly, oh, that's what it was all about. That's what happens to them. The sermon has been addressing this issue of the Spirit coming on the church. So in Jerusalem, at Pentecost, a Jewish festival, the Spirit has come onto the church. And what happened is there was a noise, there was fire on the heads of those who were waiting for it. They spoke different languages to the different nationalities who were gathered in Jerusalem for the festival. And the onlookers are struggling to understand what's happening. And so Peter explains to them. And what he explains to them is, this is the climax of God's plan. So when you look at the Bible, it's quite a big book, and only the last bit is the New Testament. So he's saying this plan is, what you're hearing and seeing is the climax of this long plan. That God, by his Spirit, is now in and with his people. The next part of the plan is that the people will go to be with God in his new creation. So the whole Old Testament plan has been going down to this moment, this point in history. And that was brought about by Jesus and his actions. So Peter's sermon's rich in lots of Old Testament quotes, and he's showing that the recent events that these people have seen is their fulfillment, what they were all about. That Jesus claimed and taught and demonstrated his identity, which is that he is God come as a man, and therefore has authority over all people and all things, and that he is what life is about. The whole universe is about him, and so to speak, goes around him. And that he died at their hands, but to God's plan, and was raised. In order that people can know him. So they now realise, these people that are listening to Peter, that they've dismissed Jesus. They either thought he was some kind of subversive, or he was just irrelevant. But certainly they didn't think of him as God come to them. Now how about you? Who do you think Jesus is? Is Jesus for you an idea, a historic teacher, irrelevant? Or is he what life is about? Is he Lord over all? Is he the one who can make demands of you? Now, who does he think he is? Well, is he that one? They were cut because they'd missed the point. And they missed the point over the most important question and person. Who is Jesus and why he came? And so they ask, what must we do? And Peter's response is to offer an invitation and to show the benefits of that and who it's for. So the response is, what must we do is this. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Repent and be baptized. Repent just means to turn around or to change your mind. And Peter's sermon is about Jesus being God and Lord of all. And so repent here and throughout the Bible means stop being the boss and thinking you know best. Make Jesus that. Make Jesus the Lord. He's the one that calls the shots. Get your agenda in line with him. Over the last few decades, whenever there's wars, this phrase has come out a few times of regime change. Repentance is regime change, where yourself is ousted and Jesus comes in as absolute ruler and king. Baptism, we've just seen, is a sign of God's promise to save. And that's what Peter talks about here, the promise. Now, other bits of the Bible talk about what it signifies, that it's a sign symbolizing various things, being united to Christ, united in his death and resurrection. A few weeks ago, we baptized an adult with a lot more water and they went down and up again. Becky and Craig suggested doing that today as well, practically a bit harder. But death and resurrection, which is linked to dying to yourself and being raised to new life, it symbolizes a wash, being made clean by the Holy Spirit. So these people here realize they've done a terrible thing. They've lived with no reference to Jesus, as if he is optional, as if central to their lives are themselves or something else, whatever meaning they've put there. Where all the time, all along, Jesus is what is central. And now they realize and they say, what shall we do? Well, we've just realized we've been doing it all wrong. Now what do we do? Repent and be baptized. Repent, turn, hand over rule to him and be baptized. That is a sign of belonging. And it still means accept the need to accept the offer of the promise. Some people reject Jesus. They reject the whole Christian message. Most don't as such. They're just vague. They hedge their bets. You know, I don't think I'm anti-Christian, but I've got no strong feelings either way. It's not an option Jesus gives. We need to accept him on his terms, not on our terms. And indifference, I think, is just an English, polite, non-confrontational way of rejection. But it is rejection. God The creator of the universe has, your rightful ruler has come in Jesus Christ as a loving, gracious friend. The response, isn't really one that's open to us. So the issue here is that they've missed the point of life, and they've just realized that. They've missed what life is all about. They've rejected the king of the universe, but it's not too late. There's a solution. Repent and be baptized. And Peter says what the benefit of that is. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent and baptize leads to the benefits of forgiveness and the Holy Spirit. The first is forgiveness. It's the perfect solution to the problem that we have, a royal pardon. We are rebels against the king. What happens to rebels? Well, there are consequences. Our rebellion has consequences on the world around us. It's why things are the way they are, because we're all living as our own kings. That's what the Bible calls sin. And sin leads to sins, the things we do, the symptoms. And that leads to all kinds of problems. And God holds us accountable. And that's a real problem with us, because it means we're alienated from him now and eternity, which is when the Bible talks of hell. And we need a pardon, a royal pardon from him, forgiveness. And earlier in Peter's speech, he talks about that when he talks of the cross and resurrection. It is a royal pardon paid for by Jesus in his blood. The cross is God's judgment on sin. All that we deserve, all that sin deserves, is put on Jesus. And he is sentenced as if it was us there, the debt's paid. And in the resurrection is his vindication, his justification, that he's not held by death in his resurrection. And so the Christian future is resurrection, imperishable life. So the resurrection means we hear now the verdict, not guilty, an assurance that when we die, we live. In the new creation, we have new bodies forever. People live in fear, especially of death. People live in fear of what other people think of them. This evening service, we think about fear. And forgiveness from God means there's no fear. There's no fear because you are accepted. There's no fear of death. And notice this again connects with baptism. Later in the New Testament, it talks about how that points towards the cross and resurrection. I mentioned a moment ago, this dying to self, this going down and coming up to new life. You will meet God. On what basis? Enemy or friend? You can today hear the verdict of the last day, forgiven. Whatever you've done, wherever you've been, no matter who you are, there's nothing beyond the forgiveness that Jesus offers. And the other thing he says is receive the Holy Spirit. Now, the reason why Peter's speaking is because of this, that the Holy Spirit came to all of the church that day. It's an odd event with fire and noise and people speaking foreign languages. And in Acts, that doesn't happen every time the Holy Spirit comes to somebody. It's just these big racial geographical boundaries that he puts out. Other times in Acts, it looks pretty uneventful, but really it is still remarkable. As I mentioned in the baptism, the name of God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The God's revealed as three persons. And Jesus said, where one are, the other two are also. And Peter's saying the whole Bible is this point, that God, the Spirit, comes to his people. So having repented and been baptized and being forgiven, great. God at that point doesn't say, here's the book, get on with it, I'll see you later. Rather, by his Spirit, he comes to us. And that's a remarkable thought, that God lives in us. He helps us and transforms us, changes our character, our tastes, so that we want to live with Jesus as Lord. He helps us relate to him. with the Bible that you want to read this book, that it makes a bit more sense to us, that you find yourself walking down the street and start praying and things like that. That he doesn't leave us alone. The Holy Spirit unites us to Christ, so we share the son status of Jesus with him. That in our heart we cry out, Father. Of course, that connects us with baptism as well. The contrast in the New Testament is that we baptize with water. Jesus does the real work of baptism with the Holy Spirit. That baptism with water points to our sins being washed by the Holy Spirit. The baptism's a sign that we belong to Christ. Now that sign wears off. Elliot will be pretty dry by now. But the Spirit doesn't wear off with us. Repent and believe, turn and trust, be baptized, the sign. It's not about pie in the sky when you die. It's not insurance for death. It's about something now that guarantees then. That you're not alone. That God comes in you and he draws the church together. Something very real happens at that point. Jesus is God with us, but he was in a body. He was limited by geography and time. The Spirit is in the whole church everywhere all the time and brings the Father and Son's presence to us and a great assurance that of a future where we will go to God's place. It'll be not God coming to us going to him. So who's this for? Verse 39, for the promise is for you and for your children, for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Ultimately, Peter says it's for everyone who God calls. But there are three types of people he specifically mentions, which covers just about everybody. You, your children, and the far off. So he says you. Peter is saying you in front of me, in front of him then, who are mostly Jews. And they would have been a mixture. They're Jews from around the world, hence other languages. There'll be those who believed, who were eagerly waiting the fulfillment of God's promises, that he's Christ, God's King, of the Holy Spirit coming on God's people. They're going, oh, this is it. Peter's saying, you know that stuff? This is it. And for those who are Jewish, but were a bit, well, I'm Jewish, but, you know, don't want to take it too seriously, whatever. Probably a bit like this room. To both of you, repent and be baptized. Perhaps you've done it as a younger adult, as a child, as a baby, you don't remember it. The message is, keep doing it. Keep turning and trusting. To those who go, well, I don't not believe, the promise is for you if you receive it, if you turn and trust, which is marked by baptism. Maybe you were baptized as a baby a long time ago. Baptism is God's promise, but it needs embracing at the other end. There's an old-fashioned word they used to use a phrase of improve your baptism. Whenever we see a baptism, we are to improve our own baptism. That is, make it real for ourselves, that all the things that it shows is ours. So Peter's appeal is you, those in front of him. Whoever is here, this promise is for you. He also says your children. None of us live in isolation. We live in, many of us live in families and other connections, and our faith impacts those closest to us. So the invitation and the promise is to you and your children. God always includes children in his promises and his offers, and therefore the sign. So Peter says, repent, come and be baptized, bring the kids with you. And he's saying this to Jews who circumcised their boys on the eighth day. He's saying, bring the girls too. Bring the kids with you. Coming to Christ is good news for the whole family. And it brings future generations into God's blessing. In time, children need to know that for themselves. They need to own it for themselves. They can't rely on their parents' faith for them. They need to make it their own. And so we put the sign on them. We treat them as Christians. We bring them to worship. We pray with them and teach them our Father at home. We teach them about Jesus and the gospel. We teach them to respond in faith and to live that way. And we pray for them, and we hand them over. We entrust them to God. But Peter also says to those far off. Now, those that Peter meant was Gentiles, non-Jewish. See, this message would have been things that they would be familiar with. They had a background. They knew about this. And this is the fulfillment of stuff they knew about. But there were others, he mentions, that have no background. They're far from God. They're not nominal. They had no understanding of their need. And he says, this is for you as well. They needed to be told of their need. They needed the gaps filled for them. But the promise of forgiveness in the Holy Spirit is for them. Same thing, they need to repent and believe, and baptism is for them. And it's still true for those out there, those far away. And maybe some out there, some far off, are in here today. And you're thinking, well, I'm not the religious sort. I've got no background to this. To be honest, a lot of this is going over my head. Maybe you're the sort of person that looks at your past and goes, I think if they knew about me and what I've thought and done, they wouldn't think this is for me. Peter says, for you who are far off, whatever you have done, wherever you have been, God's offer is for you. It is out there, it is for you, and it's just to be taken and embraced. And look how the sermon ends in verse 40. He keeps on going. So we're not told this is edited highlights of his sermon. The BBC commented on the sermon at the Royal Wedding that it was a long sermon, 14 minutes. So we know Peter's going on longer than that. And he carries on appealing. And he says, save yourself from this crooked generation. We know something's wrong with our generation. We know it's not right. We see what's around us. It's not right, is it? But also we're a part of it. And some of it's even been normalized to us. We're part of the problem. And so he says, save yourself. Repent and be believed. In Jesus Christ, God has come to us. In the cross, the debt's been paid. The threat of hell removed. In the resurrection, there's a new life been assured to us. And it's to be received. Repent and be baptized. Or for some of you, make good your baptism of the past and trust. Now maybe you're still not quite sure about this, but you're intrigued. Do ask someone afterwards. We regularly run the Christianity Explored course, which is, well, is what it says on the tin. Ask about that when we will run the next one. Maybe you're like Peter's first hearers, that you're cut, that you're going, face palm, what have I been doing for all my life? I've just missed the point. What now? Well, to find out more, you can start now by praying to God. And Peter, at the end of the passage read, he invites the hearers then and then to be baptized. And 3,000, just at the end of his sermon, came forward and be baptized. Well, you've got an opportunity to go away and think about things and ask people, but and there'd be other chances. But why leave things and put things off and hang around? It'd be very un-English for me to do it. But even now, there's some water in front of us to come and be baptized. If you wanted to do that, I don't like these embarrassing articles, I'm just too English. But as Peter did it, even now, you can, if you've not been baptized, to come forward and do that. There are other chances. But don't keep doing it forever. Don't forget about this. There's a date in God's diary when you will meet him. As friends or as opponents. I'm going to pray, and you may want to echo what I'm saying in your heart. God can hear you there. Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die and rise again so I can be forgiven. I'm sorry for missing the point of what it's all about, and so I turn to Jesus as my King. Please give me the promised gift of the Holy Spirit, so that I can keep living for Jesus. I ask this in his name. Amen.